Ross Douthat is a senior editor at The Atlantic and author of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream. Like other conservative thinkers, he's been pondering how the political right, which only 8 years ago envisioned a so-called permanent Republican majority, could have been so outflanked by the progressive movement. Now that the juggernaut built from the Goldwater Reagan Republicans, working class Reagan Democrats, evangelicals, and interventionist neocons has fallen to pieces, the Brain Trust is focusing on how to put it all back together. No easy task, says Douthat, as exemplified by the once united, now divided conservative media.
You had a lot of conservative writers who work for more mainstream slash liberal organizations, writers like Peggy Noonan for The Wall Street Journal and David Brooks for The New York Times, who were harshly critical of the Palin pick especially. And then you had people springing to Palin's defense, usually from within the conservative media, so writers for National Review and The Weekly Standard, bloggers, and especially talk radio. And so you had this divide between conservatives working in the mainstream media and conservatives working in the conservative media over the direction the McCain campaign should be taking.
But to rebuild the movement, can these two camps, the National Review intellectuals and the Sean Hannitys, find common ground? I mean, can you square the circle?
Any successful political movement in a mass democracy like the United States has to square a circle between intellectualism and populism. And I think the challenge for future GOP politicians is to find a way to have a wonky populism as opposed to just an angry populism.
All right. There's a thin line, as you know, between populism and demagoguery. Did
the
GOP cross that line?
I mean, I think in this campaign, there was very little substance to McCain's message. And I think where there was substance, it was kind of stupid. So, I mean, I think the GOP needs to give the impression of being more intelligent and more interested in policy and less interested in demagoguery. I would just say, though, that there's a sort of haze of nostalgia that liberals like to project over the right-wingers of the past. And you say, well, you know, William F. Buckley was very intellectual, but today's right-wingers aren't intellectual at all. But of course, when William F. Buckley was around, you know, liberals were saying that Barry Goldwater was a hateful demagogue, and Buckley famously defended none other than Joe McCarthy. So the intellectuals of the right have always coexisted with the populists of the right, just as the intellectuals of the left have coexisted with the populists of the left, and this is sort of the pattern in American democracy.
Which medium, which magazine or TV channel do you suppose will be the standard bearer for whatever the reconstituted conservative movement turns out to be?
Well, I think to their credit, both National Review and The Weekly Standard have done a decent job already of trying to rethink the GOP's policies, and especially on domestic policy. And I'm a little biased because they've published some of my articles. But I think one thing that conservatives really miss is another neoconservative magazine that Irving Kristol, the godfather of neoconservatism, helped found, called The Public Interest, which was the place where, you know, ideas about welfare reform and school vouchers and so on were hashed out. And it went out of business 4 or 5 years ago. And I think that that is precisely the kind of journal that the Republicans need. But I think that if you take a step outside those outlets into the broader conservative movement, the activist groups, talk radio, and so on, the narrative that's emerging after this election, I think, is an enormously self-defeating one. It's a narrative that says, well, we lost in 2006 because we weren't conservative enough and had embraced big government, and we lost in 2008 for the same reason, and there's a big danger for Republicans that they'll say, well, conservatism is fine. We don't need to change that. We just need to be truer to our principles, when in fact the ground really has shifted under the party's feet.
If we agree that the GOP is not about to turn its back on populism, and we agree that conservative talk radio and Fox News Channel are ground zero for populism, and if we can further agree that they are often enough demagogic stains on our democracy,
I'm not sure I'd go quite that far, but...
Well, what role do you suppose that they will have in the reconstitution of the conservative movement?
Kind of the same role that you've seen on the left, actually, during the Bush years, whether it's this leftward turn that MSNBC has taken, or the exploding left-wing blogosphere, the Netroots, Daily Kos, and so on. These are not hard-hitting intellectual places. They are sources of left-wing populist anger against the excesses of the Bush administration. Talk radio and Fox News and so on will become sort of a focus for rock-ribbed Republican partisan mobilization. You know, the genius of the Obama campaign was that it managed to piggyback on that kind of angry left-wing grassroots, but he himself projected a unifying post-partisan image and message to the rest of the country. And that's what the Republicans will have to do. It's very hard to pull off, and it's very easy to see that kind of anger pulling the party downward into a permanent minority status, but it could go either way.
Well, that's what I'm so fascinated in, is this question of anger pulling the party downward.
There's definitely a sense in which partisan media creates a sort of cocoon. For years, conservatives always talked about the liberal cocoon, and they would say liberals who just read the New York Times and the New Yorker and so on never really understood that there was a world beyond those institutions. And so you have the film critic Pauline Kael's famous line about, you know, how could Nixon win? I didn't know anybody who voted for him, right? But as conservatives have built up their own infrastructure, they've also built up their own cocoon. And you've seen this over the last 4 to 6 years, where for a long time in the midst of the Iraq War, if you turned on Fox News and listened to talk radio, all you heard was that things were going well and the liberal media wouldn't report the good news. That kind of cocooning, I think, is usually the source of political defeat.
Ross, thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, it was a pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
Ross Douthat is a senior editor at The Atlantic and co-author of Grand New Party, How Republicans Can Win the Working Class and Save the American Dream.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.